Discourse on Factions, the Chains of Oppression by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 1, Factions. Factions, the greatest obstacle to restoration of constitutional government. Factions are rather interesting, though often ignored by most of the people in the world we live in. Factions are somebody else, and we, individually, have no part in them, except those that we are a part of. Though we don't really see them as factions, only truth. We know what we believe. We know our moral values. We know what right and wrong is. We know what we want to know. Everything else is, if they don't agree with us, simply wrong. So let's begin by understanding what a faction is. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, a party in a political society combined or acting in union in opposition to the prince, government, or state, usually applied to a minority, but it may be applied to a majority. Sometimes the state is divided into factions nearly equal. Whether amounting to a majority or minority of the whole, we are united and actuated by some impulse of passion or of interest adverse to the rights of other citizens or to a permanent and aggregate interest of the community. Or more simplistically, a group of persons forming a cohesive, usually contentious minority within a larger group. Factions are, however, a way of life. We are all in factions, and in many different factions. For the most part, people perceive, with very few exceptions, that there are two political factions in this country, Democrats or liberals, and Republicans or conservatives. What the political philosophy of the two factions are is inconsequential, at least at this point, to the discussion. The point to be made here is that we have perceived that there are only two factions, and anything else is hardly worthy of our consideration. With regard to other aspects of our lives and our society, there are minor factions that we will see all of the time. For example, the queer community is recognized as a faction, though most fail to recognize that there is a larger faction which is opposed to the smaller recognized faction. That larger faction is those of us who, whether Christian or not, understand the necessity for moral values and standards within the country. However, legislation, political correctness, and/or influence through the press tend to either render illegal or at least minimally subject those who are a part of the larger faction to ridicule for expressing themselves in dispute with the faction's principles. The net effect is to render that the larger faction is inconsequential or illegitimate, providing a strong platform for the assertion of the values of the lesser faction, even to the point of additional legislation on their behalf. Factions in history. We can look at history and around the world today and see the effect of factions. Let's start by looking at the revolutions. After all, there have been many revolutions throughout history, though there has only been one that provided a rather smooth transition of government, and all of them have been led by factions, sometimes one, sometimes multiple, and sometimes begun by one faction where another faction became dominant before the job was done. The French Revolution began in 1789, the same year that our Constitution became the framework of our government. That revolution lasted for a number of years, and during the entire course of it, the control of government passed from hand to hand, each hand being the one that, at any given time, had the most influence and power. Often those in power for the moment would require the execution, via guillotine, of someone that was a partner in power just months before. The groundwork was laid, as the revolution needed, to restore monarchy and the Emperor Bonaparte twice. So much for a smooth transition. The Russian Revolution began in 1970. The Mensheviks began the turmoil, and eventually the Bolsheviks gained control. Then the Bolsheviks became factionalized, red versus white, leading eventually to Lenin obtaining power Again, not a very smooth transition. Revolutions, at least those of the ordinary sort, tend to have factions that vie for power even while the revolution is going on. The resultant government is, generally, unstable and retains its authority by force. Today we see the beginnings of a revolution in Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Libya, and Yemen. These street revolutions are led by factions. Most often, those factions have a religious foundation, though often there are factions within a religious group of an ethnic nature. There can be little doubt that the stronger faction will take control, though the conflict will not cease until the opposition is exiled, imprisoned, or killed. Factions in the United States. So that we can put in perspective the factions and the roles that they play in the maintenance of a country or its destruction, we must first understand just what factions exist, what their role is, and whether they are acceptable in terms of maintaining the United States of America as intended. In a recent series of articles, We the People, But Who Are We?, which is also available in Discourses, a review of the founding documents, subsequent amendments, and Supreme Court decisions provides us an understanding of just who we the people are. And as Justice Taney described in one decision, that this country is only for those we the people, but for no one else. Now right there, with that last statement, I would expect that many would cringe and begin to react in accordance with the decades of conditioning that we have been subjected to. After all, haven't we been raised to believe that this country was made for anybody who wants to come here, for any reason, even if their purpose is to change the nature and purpose of what the founders willingly gave their lives for? But is it in the best interest of this country, our future and our progeny, to accept that what was created just over 200 years ago should fall prey to changes which will destroy that which is our birthright? So let's begin by understanding that though there may be smaller factions with their own respective interests and objectives, that there is and should be a principal faction upon which all else is subordinate. The principal faction. As explained in the We the People series, there are two classes of people that comprise the principal faction. These are those who are described as the cause and purpose of the existence of the United States and its Constitution, and those who are made citizens, though not fully empowered with the rights inherent within the Constitution, through the enactment of the 14th Amendment, and are, or should be, of the principal faction. However, within both of these classes, there may be many who, though of a nature and class of we the people, or citizens of the United States, for other reasons, reject the principles upon which this country was founded. These, though they may have rights, privileges, and immunities, as described in that series, that do not adhere to the principles, are no more a part of the principal faction as one who joins an organization to change its nature. Absent adherence to the Constitution and the principles upon which it was founded makes one a citizen by birth, though a traitor by attitude, as much as any spy who endeavors to subvert the country by his actions. Subordinate or lesser factions. Factions are created when a significant number of people, having similar ideologies or purposes, realize that they are sufficient in number to create a body politic to champion their purpose. That purpose can take two forms. First, to achieve a recognition, though in so doing, not to affect the Constitution, the laws, or obtain any favor other than those enjoyed by all the people. Second, to achieve recognition for the purpose of political change, changing of laws, and obtaining favor that is not enjoyed by others. The former has existed in this country throughout its history and is comprised of people who were born into or have assimilated into the American culture without intentions of changing that culture. The latter, on the other hand, is inclined to adapt the culture to its beliefs to effect change that is inconsistent with that which the founders gave us, and will often employ the pretense of constitutional right though the result will be the diminishment of the rights of others in favor of their object, whether financial, legal, or both. They choose not to assimilate, rather to force change upon the principal faction and force that faction to subordinate to their will. Now, as we begin to look at lesser factions, any subordinate to the principal faction, they will come under two categories. First will be those who are not in serious conflict with the principal faction. Second, those who are in conflict with the principal faction.